Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Well, good morning. Welcome to First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. We gather here today, and it's the first Sunday of Advent, and we're here to pray for peace. We're here to sing songs of the season and seek even deeper ways to know God, to love God, and to serve God here in our community and all across the world. I am Pastor Lynn, your associate pastor, and I want to welcome any visitors who are with us today, whether you're in person or online. We pray that you will experience God's peace while you're here among us. Our worship leaders today are Marty Beck and Sue Urban. Our preacher is Pastor Lindsay. The adult choir is going to be leading us in song as we begin our Advent season, as we talk about the songs of the season. As I share a few announcements, I would like to invite any children who would like to head for Sunday school or nursery. If they haven't already gone, now's the time. And we have a few announcements today, as you can imagine, at the beginning of Advent. Number one, we are gathering warm clothing for persons in need, both at Cass and at St. Andrews. We need coats, hats, gloves, long underwear, mittens, boots, all of those can be brought here to the church by December the 10th, and then they will be distributed to persons in need. Number two, if Christmas is a little hard for you as you're remembering loved ones, consider coming to the sanctuary next Sunday evening at 5 o'clock, when there will be a special quiet service called Hope for Christmas. You don't need to sign up, just come. And then the next three announcements. If you have kids, grandkids, or you are simply young at heart, there are many special kids events that are happening in the weeks ahead. The children's musical will be December the 10th at 5 o'clock. This is a wonderful program. It is free. However, it's followed by a catered taco dinner, catered by our own Steve Ramos, and you can buy tickets for the meal during coffee hour. Next, there's going to be a fun-filled Christmas party for kids called Light of the World on Wednesday, December 13th at 6 o'clock. You can sign up on the church website under events. Next, both kids and adults will want to head down to the Whitmore Lake campus for a real honest-to-God living nativity scene that they are planning on December 17th. It's going to have actual animals. They have camels coming. They have sheep. They have all kinds of things. And they also will have cookies and hot chocolate. So, believe it or not, this is only the tip of the iceberg on the Christmas activities that are happening this month. You can sign up online or on your connection card that you drop in the offering plate along with your prayer requests. Now I'd like to invite those who are lighting the Advent wreath, which is the Bannings, Stephanie, Calvin, Natalie, and Margot. Come on up, and we are looking forward to you lighting the first candle. Thank you.
Today, we gather in worship to sing the songs of the season, the songs that tell of our faith. We also gather to light the candle of peace. May this flickering candle remind us that in our waiting and anticipation for the birth of Jesus, we are called to wait with a spirit of peace and work for creating a more peace-filled world. As we sing the songs of the season, in worship or at home, may our hearts rejoice in knowing that our Savior sings along with us, the Prince of Peace. May this season bring peace as we seek to be bearers of peace in the world. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Please join me in the opening prayer. Lord Jesus, come into our hearts today. Bring us your peace as we live in this chaotic world. Help us to share that peace with everyone we meet, family, friends, and especially the unexpected stranger in our midst. In your name we pray. Amen. You can be seated.
Thank you.
The scripture today is actually two of them. The first one is from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 to 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied exaltation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy in the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, has been broken, as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests on his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Great will be his authority, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The second reading is from Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 to 10. A shoot will come out from the stump of Jesse. A branch will grow out of these roots. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight will be in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he will judge for the poor and decide with equality for the oppressed of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will kill the wicked. Righteousness will be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion will feed together, and a little child will lead them. The cow and the bear will graze. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The nursing child will play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child will put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as full as the waters cover the sea. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, church. Let's pray. Let's pray. Oh, good and gracious God, we give you thanks for this day, this time to praise. Be with us in this time of worship, Lord. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may it be pleasing in your sight. You who are our rock and our redeemer, and the one who calls us your beloved. Amen. Well, church, I hope that you had a great Thanksgiving. Did you have a good Thanksgiving weekend just a few days ago? I hope that you had moments to either gather with family or friends, either in person or connect on the phone. I hope that you maybe had some turkey to carve and pumpkin pie with extra whipped cream to enjoy, or mashed potatoes and stuffing, all that good stuff of Thanksgiving. I enjoyed more than one slice of pumpkin pie for sure, so it was officially Thanksgiving in my mind as well. And now it is good to be with you in worship on this first Sunday of Advent. You know, that time between Thanksgiving and the start of the Advent Christmas season, it goes so quickly in the blink of an eye because we look around town and already the holiday lights are up. All throughout the downtown area in Brighton and all over people's homes, and the businesses have their garlands up and there's Santa displays in people's yards, the big blow-up type, you know, those fun kitty ones. And I've seen my fair share of nativity scenes as well. Have you started decorating in your home? Doesn't the church look beautiful? We had some special decorators in here yesterday helping prepare our space. Well, with the pumpkin pie having been eaten, now we are turning our attention to Advent. We're looking with anticipation to Christmas, and what makes it really feel like the Advent season is beginning is when, and that the Christmas is on the horizon, is when I hop in my car and I turn on the radio and I start hearing all of the songs of the season. Yes. From Jingle Bells to Go Tell It on the Mountain to Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer to Hark the Herald Angels Sing, you can turn on that radio sometime between, you know, the day, maybe the day after Halloween, but certainly by the time the pumpkin pie is cut and all of the songs of the season are found on the radio, and certainly as we worship and praise God together. So here we are. To praise God, to witness to our faith, to give God thanks for his unending love and God's ending grace. Today we celebrate and we start lighting our first Advent wreath candles as we look with great joy and great hope to come to Christmas Eve when we'll have all of the candles lit and our hands will be raising high in the air. We will sing Silent Night and celebrate the birth of Jesus. And until we get there, we come this morning lighting one candle on the Advent wreath, one flickering flame, one solo candle of peace this morning. In the days that lead up to Jesus' birth, we are invited to wait in a spirit of praise, peace. We're invited to take those contemplative moments and sometimes the perhaps very busy season to still ourselves and, as the song sung this morning, to come and find a quiet center. To gaze at the flickering candle in a season of busyness, to find the peaceful still moments, to pray for peace in this world, and to work for peace, pausing to come and to find that quiet center. As your Advent season begins, I'm curious, are you feeling like peace is within your heart, or is peace feeling like a distant, far off dream, or is it felt near within your heart this day? For the prophet Isaiah, I'm not sure how much peace he felt, but the prophet spoke a vision, had a vision of peace to come, spoke of a new king, of a new kingdom. So the book of Isaiah, it's an interesting book. It's written in three parts, three times. The scripture reading this morning that Liz read for us, we hear from Isaiah chapter 9 and chapter 11. It's written during the 8th century BCE, so quite some time ago. And at the time when the northern kingdom was captive to Assyrian rule, there was conquest and defeat and exile, and perhaps in this context we can better understand the point of view from where the prophet is coming. So when the prophet says the people who have walked in darkness, and when the prophet says those who lived in a land of deep darkness, we can understand a little bit about what is happening in that time. It was a time as people were experiencing oppression and exile and violence. And yet, within those first few sentences of that scripture, the lesson that we heard this morning, the prophet wrote of hope to come. Yes, the prophet wrote, the people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light, and on those who lived in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. They spoke of light to come, and the scripture verses that then unfold become like beautiful poetry. Go back home sometime this week and read through Isaiah 9 and read through Isaiah 11 and bathe yourself in that scripture. Hear the poetry. Each line is filled with metaphor and detailing the hope for the vision that would come, of the light that would be born, of that future king who would rule not with a sword and a shield, but one that would rule with a peaceable kingdom. And that hoped for future, that peaceable kingdom, we hear it in verse 7. Great will be his authority, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. And he will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. So longing for peace in the 8th century BCE was kin to longing for peace at the time of Jesus' birth. Do you remember? Do you remember at the time the Roman Empire ruled at the time of Jesus' birth? And do you remember the oppression that people knew and the longing for peace and the desire of a Savior and Messiah that would come and save them? Oh, how they longed for a different king, a different kind of peace, a different kind of rule. Can you imagine a different king that would come? Can you imagine a different kind of kingdom that might be experienced? And this king to come, the people didn't expect it, right? This king to come, how was expecting that it would come in a form of a child in the Virgin Mary? What should we call this king but the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace? And what type of kingdom would he bring but this peaceable kingdom? The prophet describes what this peaceable kingdom might look like. Did you hear the metaphors going, or those connecting phrases going back and forth, what it might look like with the wolf lying down with the lamb? Can you imagine? And the calf and the lion feeding together, and the cow and the bear shall graze together, and the kingdom they will live together in peace. Just imagine a wolf lying down with a lamb. It's almost this peaceable kingdom. It's this beautiful vision, this hoped for future, pointing to signs of the future amidst the darkness. And when we listen to Isaiah's vision, sometimes it's hard to imagine as we turn on the news, as we look about the realities of the world, or even when we just have conversation with one another and we realize the hardships that people carry on a daily basis. Sometimes it's hard to imagine that place of peace without pain. And yet, among those realities of the world, we can see moments where there's the inbreaking of God's kingdom, where God's kingdom does come, where God's will does take place on earth as it is in heaven. Those moments in which God's kingdom breaks in, shining forth like sunshine from heaven, bringing light into the darkness. What signs of God's light, God's peace, God's hope have you noticed recently? What signs of God's kingdom have you glimpsed here on earth as it is in heaven? What have you seen? When we light the Advent candle of peace this morning, it reminds us that we can experience peace on earth with the dawning of God's light in this world and in our community of faith. We experience that, but we experience that not just by praying for peace, for God's kingdom to come, but we experience that by praying and taking one step forward to act. I glimpse God's peaceable kingdom when disciples take that one step farther. I glimpse that and we see God's peaceable kingdom and God's kingdom being built here on earth. It looks like disciples pausing to pray for those who are hungry in our community and then going and organizing a community food drive to stock the shelves of the Northfield pantry. Being bearers of God's peace and builders of God's peaceable kingdom looks like disciples pausing to pray for those in your community who don't have access to public transportation on Sunday mornings to get to work or to get to worship. And then we pray, and then we take one step farther into action, and our church and society group gets busy, and they make change happen, and all of a sudden there's bus routes available. Peace. Being bearers of God's peaceable kingdom and builders of God's kingdom here on earth looks like disciples who, yes, pause and pray for folks experiencing housing challenges. And then it looks like disciples who pack up their tool belts and their work boots and they get to work assisting and working alongside residents at the Red Bird Mission in Kentucky. I know there were many on that mission trip this fall. Being bearers of God's peace and builders of God's kingdom looks like disciples who pray for children and youth to have access to education. And then it looks like taking one step farther and raising funds to support readers to leaders, supporting students in Liberia, and supporting students at the Flint Freedom Schools. I have so many more illustrations to share. It looks like praying for those victims who are impacted by natural disasters in our world and then taking one step further and supporting the work of UMCORI, our United Methodist Committee on Relief. Bearers of God's peace and builders of God's kingdom looks like the numerous missions and ministries over the years that our church has been involved in, and it's taking that moment to pray, and then it's taking it one step forward. Be a part of bringing peace into this hurting world. You get where I'm going here. We're Methodists, so we don't just sit and fold our hands in prayer, but to be offers and signs of God's peace in this world, then it calls us to leap up from our seats and go do something about it. This Advent season, as we're gathering in worship, whether we're singing these songs in worship or you're turning on your radio as you're driving and commuting around, I'm sure you're going to hear all these great songs of the season. I'll tell you, there are far too many great Christmas carols to mention this morning, but perhaps a couple of songs that stick out in my mind this morning, most that really connect in my mind this morning, would be a couple of songs that come from Handel's Messiah. Have you heard that? Those beautiful songs. I'll tell you, it was Handel's Messiah was an opera written over 280 years ago by a man named George Handel. He was from Germany, and he was from a religious family upbringing, and his father was a doctor, and his father had hopes that one day he might be able to study law, but by the young ages, this young prodigy child was showing great prospects in being a musician. And so Handel, he became a musician and a composer and a conductor, and he famously wrote his Handel's Messiah. And two of his songs are based upon Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, as well as Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, telling of the birth of Jesus. And so perhaps like you, there are many songs and tunes that sing in your heart this season, but I think the most glorious songs this morning are the words of Isaiah that we hear in his great Handel's Messiah. Church, this morning, as we're lighting these candles, may we know that the world and be reminded, yes, the world deeply needs peace, and so we light that candle of peace to pray for peace, but may we also be bearers and builders of that peace in this world. And as Handel's Messiah sings, and as Isaiah's vision says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Amen.
Good morning. I'd like to draw your attention first to our beautiful prayer quilt hanging here in the sanctuary for Steve. May our thoughts and prayers be with him as he continues on his pathway to recovery. It's now that wonderful season of waiting. It starts now. We're waiting for decorations, for food, for gifting, for lifting up our hearts in song and music. Everything bursts forth starting here. But wait, there's more. We as Christians know this as we hang our decorations and sing our songs. We know that the message behind it isn't very private, but we also know that we want to share it as it comes forward. And so we ring bells and we share Christmas greetings in the stairways and in the grocery stores with everybody, even though they may not be Christians. We just can't help ourselves. Even our joyous words. Please pray with me. Dear God, thank you for this season. We pray that our joy will extend to all the world, to people suffering, struggling with health, with war, and with poverty and anxieties. May our good news be heard, and may it help everybody everywhere, and may they all find room in their heart for our Lord. And we pray all this in the name of Christ, who taught us to pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
You know, as we dream of a peaceful kingdom, we're also called to do our part to bring hope and peace to people who are yearning for light. We can help shine that light by sharing our time, our talents, our gifts, our service, and our witness. Today we're going to be having a special mission moment. Reverend Jack Amick, who is the Director of Global Migration for UMCOR. You know, we always hear about UMCOR. We've got one of UMCOR's leaders with us today. It's the agency that we in the United Methodist Church use as our vessel to do so much good in so many ways. So as you're preparing to give your offering today, note that there are special envelopes in the pew racks that you can use if you would like to give an offering for UMCOR. Just check on the box for UMCOR. Reverend Jack Amick, I'm going to invite the ushers to go ahead and come forward while I'm doing this introduction. Reverend Jack Amick, as I said, Director of Global Migration for UMCOR, is an elder from our own Michigan conference, which is pretty exciting for us. I'm proud to say that Jack served in churches that you know, in Flint, in Rochester. Maybe you know Allen Park. And his wife is also a deacon in our conference. So they live in Georgia, but he's traveled here today, maybe to be with family for Thanksgiving. Yeah, he's nodding at me. But we are blessed to have him with us. We're going to begin with a video that Jack has brought for us to see, to give you a little background, and then Jack will be here with us. That's Reverend Jack Amick that will be coming up right after the video.
Struggle. Homes and livelihoods are destroyed. People don't know where to turn. Hope is almost lost. And then, by the grace of God and through the support of people like you, UMCOR provides hope and healing to communities devastated by disasters. Part of the General Board of Global Ministries, UMCOR is a humanitarian relief arm of the United Methodist Church. Working in the U.S. and in countries around the world, UMCOR offers help when natural or man-made disasters overwhelm a local community's ability to respond, and seeks to improve the well-being of displaced peoples, migrants, and refugees. In the U.S., UMCOR partners with United Methodist annual conferences, working with disaster response coordinators, disaster response ministries, and early response teams to provide support for relief and recovery efforts. By working together with U.S. conferences, UMCOR's connectional approach helps communities recover faster and make survivors' lives whole again. UMCOR also responds to international disasters, providing a range of relief and recovery support through local Methodist churches and trusted partners, as well as ecumenical and non-governmental organizations. UMCOR's efforts to help communities become more self-sufficient and better prepared for future disasters include care for the environment and sustainable agriculture. Every day, around the world, UMCOR connects United Methodist churches to God's mission by helping people who are suffering. As followers of Christ, we are called to protect the vulnerable, support the weak, and comfort those who mourn. To learn more or to give to UMCOR, visit umcor.org.
The Advent. It's a privilege to be here with you. I want to, first of all, bring you greetings from Roland Fernandez, the General Secretary of Global Ministries and of UMCOR, and really from all the people around the world who benefit from your generosity. And I will tell you a little bit more about that in a second. I wanted to show you this video, but also wanted to say that I think that this video sort of tells you maybe what you already know, which is that UMCOR does a lot of work with disasters around the world. We also do some other interesting things in UMCOR and UMCOR adjacent type work through Global Ministries. One is the work that we do with Global Health in Africa, primarily, where there's been a long tradition of work with missionaries. We're working to build out health boards there so that people can take some control over over health system strengthening projects that we have there. We are also doing environmental sustainability work in the U.S. and around the world. You might have heard of the Earth Keepers program that encourages folks and trains them to do projects in their community that have to do with the environment. And we are also doing agriculture, you saw there on the screen, some agricultural work, primarily again in Africa, to support the churches in Africa as they become more self-sustaining from these agricultural projects. But the other thing that I've been involved in the last few years is migration work. And one of the things that I get to do in this job is to visit some of the projects that we have supported around the world. I got back last week from Chile and Argentina and Uruguay, where I got to see how UMCOR is supporting programs there. In Argentina, for instance, there's a program we met with young lawyers who are learning about how they can best help migrants with legal issues and help them find legal pathways and solutions in that country. In Uruguay, we got to visit with the Methodist Church of Uruguay, which is partnered with the municipality in Montevideo to provide support to migrants, mostly from Venezuela right now, but migrants who have come in and need temporary housing. So the city has built a place for families to live for six months to a year, and the church is going to be providing them with some case management and providing a range of services to help them become independent over that time. In Chile, we saw a housing program that was available for people who were undocumented and needed some support. and then another legal assistance program there. In my travels in October, I got to go to Phnom Penh in Cambodia and visit a program that's providing training for young people who are vulnerable to trafficking so that they have some skills in construction and various related activities so that they can make a livelihood in their own country and not have to leave the country. In Hong Kong in September, and Philippines, both in September, I saw programs that help people who are labor migrants, essentially, but who are being mistreated by their employers. And so these programs help to inform these folks of what their rights are under those contracts and under the law in those situations. Could go on and on. We, of course, have done some stuff you saw in Ukraine and related countries in Europe as refugees have fled to those countries. We're doing things, some in Africa and, of course, in the U.S. Since 2019, we started a program with Church World Service that would help them shift some of their resources so that they could do more with asylum seekers and not just refugees. So we're doing a wide range of things, and people sometimes ask me, so why is the church getting into this thing called migration that's political? Why are you doing that? Well, it's kind of simple. Jesus tells us to welcome the stranger. We also, and to respond to the stranger. And so we have a natural, both historic and biblical call to do that kind of work, but also because people suffer when they migrate. Doesn't matter what the reason is. There's some loss that happens either on the journey or before the journey or after the journey even. And so we want to try to alleviate the suffering there. The last thing that I will note is that this work, I find, is incredibly transformational. To work with migrants of any type is to open yourself up to seeing a worldview that you might not have seen before. And so to this end, we have a program that we launched a couple years ago, and it's closed right now, but we'll reopen in January, and it gives $2,000 grants to individual churches. So you always thought UMCOR and Global Ministries is asking for money. Well, we're also giving money out, too, to local churches. And we're close to doing 100 grants this year, and we'll probably do the same again next year. And that's to allow local churches to try a project, however they design it, around migration in their community. And what we found is that it changes churches. We've had situations where pastors have said to me, yeah, there was this guy in our church, old curmudgeon, I have to be careful about that, but old curmudgeon who was against doing anything with migration. We went ahead and did the project anyway. So there's a lesson about mission and ministry. But we went ahead and did the project anyway, and then the guy joined in, and halfway through he said, when this money from UMCOR is done, we need to keep doing this. And so that project continues to this day, thanks to that guy and that involvement. So I will close with something that we didn't plan this at all, but I will close. I write a little bit of random poetry from time to time. So this is one from a collection of stuff I have on migration, and I'll read it, and we'll close with that. But I just want to, before I do, say thank you so much. One of the things that I used to tell people in the pews, in the churches that I served, is that just by being part of the Methodist Church, just by being part of the United Methodist Church, just by showing up, you are already in mission. You do some fantastic things, I can see from the list here in this town. That's great. And you also build change in the world. And we are working on, I forgot to mention, we're doing global conversations around the world with the UN and various, at those levels. And I understand you guys are working with church and society stuff too. So that's great. So let me close with this. So when Jose and Maria show up at the church late one cold night, because they heard there was no room at the Holiday Inn, and they heard that the church was mostly empty most of the time, and he's scruffy, and she's pregnant, and they both smell like the street. And you had already settled in for a long winter's nap, and you can't be bothered, and you think you don't have enough food, and you're afraid that ice might creep through the cracks around your seemingly secure doors and windows and arrest these two illegals, and you with them. Then listen to the angel say, "Fear not," and let them into the sanctuary and into your heart, and prepare yourself to be a midwife of migration, to get ready for the mess, because Jesus is about to crown into your life. Amen, and thanks for your support.
Jesus Christ, as you offered yourself to us, we offer ourselves to you today. We bring our humble offerings forward in your name. Use them to grow your ministry of peace. May your kingdom come. Amen.
Dear church, this day may the peace of Christ be with you. May the power of the Holy Spirit fill you, and may God's love continue to be with you. Go in peace this day to pray for peace, but to be builders of God's kingdom here and now, the peaceable kingdom. Blessings this day.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.